RachelCochran.com presents a recording of the third prize in the Room to Write Short Story Competition 2014. Blood Pool, written by Ruby Shiffrin and read by Rachel Cochran. If you walk the inland path that rises up to Blood Pool, past the asphodels and under the skylarks, and happen to pass someone and ask them why this small reeded pool is so called, they might say, "Well, it's because of the colour of the soil hereabouts," and leave it at that. Or they might, if feeling more expansive, tell you of the long hot summer when the crops failed and the drought was terrible hard on the people. Hard especially for those who lived up here on the mountain and had to carry all their own water. And hard on the farmers, of course. And they might tell you how the cattle, left out on the mountain all day to seek out whatever threads of grass remained, were so thin their skin hung slack as a shirt on a hanger with the bones poking through. And how one time, after a sudden thunderstorm which merely puddled the cracked bottom of the pool, the cattle stampeded to drink. In the crush and crash that followed, they gored each other until their blood, the little there was in each of them, trickled through the punctured, fraying skins and filled the bottom of the pool more than the brief thunderstorm had. If the speaker takes a shine to you, they might generously add that the cattle then drank each other's blood, and the grey, dusty earth was stained red, and the few surviving cows were likewise crusted with blood rust, and how the metallic, reesty taint carried on the drying wind across the valley for weeks until the rains finally came. And that makes a fair tale. A believable tale when you see the harsh poverty of the land there. You can imagine the cows turning the mountain track as the light fades, expecting the farmer to feed them, just a handful of cows left alive to hobble and lurch through the flies and stones, their backs grimed with bloodied dust, their coats matted and stiff, their hooves rusted red. The rooks arrived in a dark cloud of caws to feast and to clean the bones of those who didn't stagger out from the pool. So the name memorialises that difficult summer. What no one local tells, not to outsiders, nor scarcely even whispered to each other, is how my great-grandmother and her sister lived on the hill farm nearest the pool, and how that hot scorch of a summer my great-grandmother Fee, with her copper curls, turned 14. With the heat leeching the life from most everyone in those bare mountain parts, she alone pulsed with life, her eyes all sheen and glitter. She walked and danced on the mountain all times of the day, barely tending her chores. In the hot airless nights, bright with stars, she danced unhindered, enraptured. She skittered through dry pebbled stream beds and parched fields, pulling into the dance anyone she encountered along the way. One of these was Joe. His family's farm was further down the valley. It was in better repair than the sisters' farm, but with more siblings to divide it between in the future. He had it in mind that Caroline, Fee's older sister, was a grand lass, fair enough and steady, who would make a fine wife. The kid sister, so very much the child when he first started courting Caroline, was of no interest to him. But now, to see her wearing a gauzy slip of a dress and dance about in the night's shadow, roused him. He approached, just to watch. She held out her hand, and they danced until inevitably they tumbled on the cracked and dusty ground. That might have been the end of it, had my great-grandmother not fallen pregnant. No one asked her who the father was. The shame her sister Caroline felt was plain enough to see, without rubbing in the salt of questions. And who, in this maddening heat, wouldn't slake some thirst if they could, they reasoned with themselves. Caroline knew, though. How, she couldn't have told you herself. But she knew. Form was maintained, and she still walked out with Joe, though she was remote and the promise of engagement withered. She could not afford to throw Fee out, as some might. She needed help with the farm. And so they continued living alongside each other, with little said, and Fee still dancing whenever she could, until the rains finally came. When the birth night arrived the next April, such a lush and bursting April, Caroline walked Fee to the poolside to have water close by and reflected light from the moon, she said. She boiled water over a fire and put a towel and bowls ready. The baby, a girl, slipped out as quickly and easily into the cool mountain air as her mother had danced in the heat. She was just put to the breast when a wave of rage stormed through Caroline's blood, exploding her eardrums, and she snatched up the knife, the sterilised knife that had been used to cut the birth cord, and slashed at her sister's throat. Fee saw the moonlit rictus on her sister's face and the flash of silver too late to move, but soon enough to breathe a curse. A red curse on you and any sisters in this line. Caroline pushed the still bleeding woman into the pool, watched the water ribbon with red, and took the baby home. Nothing was said. Nothing happened. No neighbour spoke in protest. It was, after all, a lonesome place. And what, after all, could be done now? And as for bones that might be found there in the future, there's no telling how they got there. Someone met with misfortune, it happens. Besides, Fee had enticed the man as good as promised to her sister. Now why would such a one be missed, they asked themselves, or sometimes one another in hushed voices. Besides, baby Bridget needs someone to look after her. Caroline never married, but raised the child in frozen silence. In her turn, Fee's daughter Bridget heeded the curse and bore only a single girl child. Times change fast, even in these stony parts, and by the time she was pregnant, my mother, glamoured by drilled wells, refrigerators and TV, decided the curse was just superstitious nonsense and too long ago to worry about. I was her firstborn. 4 years later, my sister came along. It's then my mother grows nervous, fearful of the curse, sends me away to live with strangers, keeps my sister home with her. I've lived that curse. 12 years I've been away from home. 12 years I've been ousted. But now I'm home. Feet on the familiar rising path, with 12 years of wrongs to right, and a sister to visit. That was Blood Pool by Ruby Shiffrin, third prize in the Room to Write short story competition 2014.